I've heard feedback from people about they really enjoy this time of prayer. But I'm looking for the time when God just moves in here and we can't even have a teaching. Okay? When you come here, you get into prayer, folks. You don't have to just keep this whatever God wants, that's what we want. All right? Amen. We're going to continue in our series, We Need to Pray, by taken away from Brother David Church. We need to pray. And tonight we want to turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, we're going to read verse 9 through 13. It says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Last week we finished off at "Thy kingdom come." Does anyone remember what God's kingdom represents? Well, I'll tell you. In Romans 14:17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy." How? In the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is the Holy Ghost and the fruit of the Holy Ghost. You see, the people in Jesus' day wanted to know when the kingdom of God should come. And they thought that they would be able to see it. They thought to listen. And so Jesus, I want you to listen to what he said in Luke 17, 20 through 21. It says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." All right? Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you, that the Holy Ghost dwells in you. Amen? So when you pray, the very first thing that you should ask for is the Holy Ghost. It is something that you should seek after and something that you should desire. And if you already have it, ask the Lord to renew the Holy Ghost in you every day. All right? So, and Jesus said that everything else, if you renew that, the kingdom of God in you, everything else will take care of itself. And the scripture went on to say, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." That word "will" there means one's determination or desire. So that thy will, God's will, his determination, his desire, we want it to be done in the earth as it is in heaven. You see, we need to understand that God desires certain things. And folks, this is a very important part of our prayer. When we pray, we ought to pray for the Lord's will to be accomplished both on earth as it is in heaven. The first thing that we need to understand about this portion of our prayer is that God's will comes first and foremost in our life. We must also understand that God's will is in direct competition with other wills of the world. One of those wills is our own will, our own desires. So God's will is in competition with ours. And a lot of times, we miss out on things of God because we push forward for our will, for our purpose to be done. Another will that is in competition is other men's will, or the world's will is in competition with God's will every day. And then there's Satan's will. So "Thy will be done" ties in with the previous statement in the Lord's Prayer, says, "Thy kingdom come." So if we are committed to the kingdom of God on this earth, then we must also be committed to the will of God, the will of God in this earth. So his will comes before our will. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God."
We seek his will first. We seek his plan above our plan. We seek his ways above our ways. Does that make any sense here tonight? Okay? We all understand that God comes first. Amen. But we also struggle with putting God first. Not that we don't want God's will, but we have a hard time letting go of our will. Right? We spend a lot of time asking God to bless our plans rather than seeking his plan for our lives. Now, we think that we have it all figured out, don't we? Come on. Let's be honest here tonight. We think we got it all figured. We think we know better than God what is good for us. Folks, if we could just trust God, if we could just trust his will, things would be so much easier in our lives. Amen? It really would. But God does have a plan for your life. You believe that tonight? I believe he has a plan for each one of us. You see, it's a perfect plan. It's a flawless plan. And sometimes, folks, we mess that plan up. Now, there are three aspects of God's will. The first one is corporate will. God's corporate will. This is God's will for mankind that he has had since creation. And God is going to have a church, folks, that is without spot or blemish. The Bible tells us, and his church will have certain victory. We know that it's going to happen. God will, it's going to be done. Whether we're a part of that or not, it's up to us. But God's will is going to be done. And then there's God's perfect will. So first is the corporate will, and then God's perfect will. God has a perfect plan for you from the very day that you were born or conceived. And that plan begins with salvation. And then there's the permissive will. This is the will of God that most of us end up in because the choices that we make. 9 times out of 10, we do not choose the perfect will of God. You see, folks, listen to me tonight. It is not God's will for us to fall into sin. It's not his will. It is not God's will for us to backslide. It is not God's will for us to hold grudges against people. Amen? It is not God's will for us to ignore his word. Yet, these are the things that happen in our lives all the time. But even though, thank God for his mercy, even though we mess up, God's grace still makes room for us to stay in his will. Aren't you glad for that? Oh, thank you, Lord. But it's like we get lost in our little world. We get lost for a little bit. And then we get back on track. And just understand now, folks, you are in God's permissive will. And there may be some consequences to the decisions that you have made. But that is not God's fault. It's our own fault. And understand, God's perfect will only takes place in our lives, folks, if we seek it, if we desire it above everything else. God will never force his perfect will on anybody. And the fact that Jesus had to instruct the disciples to pray for God's will, that demonstrates to us that they struggled staying in the will of God. Think of Peter. Oh, Peter. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. You think that's God's perfect will? Nah. I think he dropped down to permissive. Right? He basically backslid and went back to his old life. And Jesus at one point called him Satan. I'm telling you, we would probably go look for another church if he was the pastor here and called you Satan. Come on, let's be honest here. Then the Lord forgave him, and Peter went on to do great things for Jesus Christ. Peter was in God's permissive will. It wasn't God's perfect will for Peter to turn his back on the Lord. It wasn't God's perfect will for Peter to deny the Lord three times. And that is what Peter chose to do. The good news is, folks, that Jesus forgave Peter. And he still used Peter to preach the first message at Pentecost. He still used Peter as one of the founding fathers of the church. And once Peter started seeking God's will over his own will, things began to happen and things turned around in his life. You see, when we pray for God's will above our will, God is going to answer some prayers. Amen? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 through 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So whatever we pray for, folks, is hinged on us accomplishing God's will. All of our prayers are conditional on his will. Now that makes us so very important to understand, folks, the will of God. It's very important. If any of you are wondering what the will of God is, it is made perfectly clear in his word. John chapter 6, verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last days. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, God's will is that every person experiences salvation and makes it to heaven. That's what he wants for everybody. That's his will. So when you pray for God's will, think of the areas in your life that would help you accomplish his will. All right? Let's think about boldness to be a witness. If you have the Holy Ghost, you already have this. Pray, folks, that God would help you to overcome fear. And any hindrance, not only fear, but any hindrance in your ability to witness. Another thing you can pray for is wisdom and understanding so that you can share the truth. God wants us to share his word. He wants us to share this truth, the gospel. So pray, God, give me the wisdom, give me understanding so that I can share this truth. You can pray for God's favor on your life and with people. We want people to like us, right? It's hard to witness to somebody that they don't like you. And a lot of times it's our fault people don't like us. Right? Come on. So pray, God, give me favor. I want your favor, God, but I want favor with other people. You know, I one of the greatest ways to be where people will love you and give you favor is be a servant. Be a servant in your neighborhood. Be a servant at work. Be a servant at home. Come on. Be a servant. God, also, we need to pray for a spiritual awakening among people who you have relationships with. God, help them to see me, that the love of God through me. Because sometimes, folks, we're the only scripture that people will read. We're written epistles, read of all men. And pray for God to order your steps. It's not where you want to go today. God, where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to talk to today? How many of you know, folks, how many of you want to know that it is God's will for you to be a witness? It is God's will for you to be a witness. So Our first two requests in the Lord's Prayer are praying for the Holy Ghost in our own lives, thy kingdom come, and praying for his power and favor in our ability to witness. But I want you to notice something. We are now halfway through the Lord's Prayer, and we have yet to ask anything for our own purpose. For our own physical needs. Halfway through. And folks, this is important to remember when we are praying, God comes first. His plan comes first. His will comes first. His purpose should all be addressed before we pray anything in our own lives. Here we go. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, when I think of bread, I think of one of the basic necessities of life. And many eat bread every day. I don't do that anymore. Used to, but I don't do that anymore. I just can't. I love bread. For some reason, we don't get along anymore. But many people eat bread every day. Jesus was teaching the disciples that we should supply the basic necessities of life on this earth. Jesus was teaching the disciples that he would supply the basic necessities on this earth. So when we put God first, Jesus said, all these other things will be added unto you. Those things that we need to sustain life. What is more important here is the source of our daily bread. Amen? The source of our daily bread. We're to ask our Father for bread because we don't want the wrong person feeding us. Amen? Let me tell you what I mean. The devil has a food bank as well. And you see, he offered it to Eve in the garden. And it caused all mankind to fall into sin. Satan also offered bread to Jesus. But Jesus refused because it would have been the wrong source. Our prayer should include others who have needs as well. It doesn't say, give me this day my daily bread, but it says, give us this day our daily bread. We can't only be concerned about our needs and say, Lord, I don't care if other folks are starving, feed me. Now, we would never say it like that. But a lot of times, folks, when we pray, sometimes we're just heaping on us and don't even realize we're not including anybody else. Prayer that never gets beyond me and my needs, folks, will not be blessed of God. The wording throughout the Lord's Prayer is let us know that we are to include others in our prayers as often as we include ourselves. This, folks, is intercessory prayer. Interceding for others. Philippians 2, verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things. But every man also on the things of others. Notice that this prayer addresses our needs, not our desires. Our needs, not our desires. God said that he would supply all our needs. He didn't say he'd supply all our wants. So, hear me tonight. If you want a Harley Davidson, don't ask God, go get an extra job. Okay? That's not a need. It also, the scripture all talks about, it also addresses our daily needs. Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow because he will take care of you today. There is no better picture of this than Israel during the Exodus from Egypt. They were hungry and they were thirsty and they were full of complaints to Moses. And so the Lord sent them quails in the evening. But in the morning, the ground was covered with a thin and flaky substance. Nobody knew what it was, so they called it manna. See, manna actually means, what is it? All right? The manna came every morning, and there was enough for every Israelite. But see, folks, if they tried to keep it for the next day,
it would rot and become infested with maggots. God gave them a new supply every day except for the seventh. They would receive a double portion on the sixth day, and they would keep fresh until the seventh day, the day of rest. And the reason that he wants us to come to him daily, folks, is because it keeps us thankful. When our refrigerators are full and the cabinets are full of food, we sometimes forget to thank God for our provision. Israel needed to learn that lesson of I need you every day. And if they needed to learn it, so should we. The scripture goes on to say, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You see, we come now to a very important part of the prayer, and that is forgiveness. Every person in this assembly has struggled with forgiveness. Forgiveness deals with the issue of sin. And when we sin against God or against somebody else, it is like we are accumulating a bill. And that is why Jesus referred to it as debt. Okay? Forgiveness means that the debt has been canceled, that the creditor has taken your debt on himself. So in the parable of the unforgiving servant, the servant was accountable until the debt was forgiven. The debt was huge, 10,000 talents. It was so big that selling his family into slavery would not even cover it. And the king, though, had compassion. And the Bible says he forgave the debt, and the king took the loss on himself. Now remember the rest of the parable. The servant's forgiveness hinged on how he treated his own fellow servants. So immediately after the king had forgiven him, he went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 talents. And the Bible says he took him by the throat and demanded immediate payment. And when the servant could not pay, the Bible says he cast him into prison until he could pay the debt. When the king found this out, he told him, he said, you should have showed mercy on this man, just as I showed mercy on you. You see, folks, the Bible says that the king was wroth with him, and he delivered this man to the tormentors until his debt was paid in full. This is how Jesus summed it up. In Matthew 18, verse 35, he says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespass. Hear me tonight, folks. We cannot be forgiven if we cannot forgive. The prayer says, forgive us as we forgive others. You see, folks, it is conditional on our forgiveness of others. Our forgiveness is conditional on how we forgive others. So this part of the prayer was so important that Jesus addressed it again in the very next verse after the Lord's Prayer is finished in Matthew 6, 14 through 15. It says, For if ye forgive men their trespass, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespass, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Forgive your trespasses. We have to forgive. Amen? And it is a good lesson because let me tell you something. Forgiveness is not for the other person. Forgiveness is for you. Amen? They're living rent-free in your mind all the time. And the scripture goes on to say in the Lord's Prayer, it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You see, when you read this, it might give the impression, folks, that God leads us into temptation. That's not what it's saying. God leads no one into temptation. In James 1, 13 and 15 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed.
Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. What Jesus is saying here is that we need to ask to be led away from temptation. From the time that we wake up in the morning till the time that we go to bed at night, we are in spiritual danger. Satan and the whole world system is tempting us, folks, through our own lust. It is a nonstop attack of the enemy. And Satan is trying to deceive us that what this world has to offer is good for us. It's good for our soul. It is the same thing that happened in the garden with Adam and Eve. Temptation, folks, is something that we deal with and we will deal with until Jesus comes. But Jesus said, just ask for deliverance, and you can be sure that I will deliver you from every temptation. In 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. God's will, folks, God will always make a way of escape from temptation. Always. We just have to accept it. And when we pray, deliver us from evil, we are also praying a prayer of protection from the power of the enemy. And Jesus said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? If God be for us, who can be against us? The scripture also says in the prayer, says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We begin our prayer with praise, and now we're going to end the prayer with praise. We praise and we thank him because of his kingdom. Amen. He is the source of all power. He deserves all glory. Hallelujah. It all belongs to him. And folks, we give him thanks because now we are a part of his kingdom. His spirit, thank God, dwells in us and works through us. And we are a part of his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So we are a part of his kingdom on earth and in heaven. And that is something that we could shout about. That is something that when you get to, especially when you go through all that and you're asking God to be there with you and protect you and help you and deliver you from temptations and all these things and evil, you can start shouting. It's something to shout about. He is worthy of our praise. And this is a forever thing, folks. It is eternal. His kingdom, his power, and his glory will last forever. We are part of that eternal kingdom. And so, shall we ever be with the Lord? When we close in prayer, we say amen. Now, don't neglect saying amen, because we get into this habit sometimes of saying it and we don't even really think about it. But think about what it means. Amen means, so be it. Lord, I agree with you. God, it shall be done. God, it will happen. Amen. When you finish with amen, you are exercising your faith in God. And that is pleasing to God. God wants us to believe in him. God wants us to have faith in him. He said we can't serve him without it. Amen. So what an awesome word. And what an awesome way to end your prayers in agreement with the Almighty God. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's stand. Hallelujah. God bless you, folks. You're dismissed. Greet one another in the name of Jesus.